Good morning. Welcome to this worship service, and there are a number of people with us who are visiting, and to you, a very warm welcome. And we hope this will be a time when you are able to find enjoyment and peace and also hope in this time of worship. To Gene Stackhouse, who is playing for us this morning, thank you ever so kindly. We are already enjoying your skills and talents. Thank you. We look forward to more. There are some announcements, and most of them that I have are in terms of notifying the congregation of different passings of people within the congregation. We received notice that Bill Copithorne, who is a former deacon, has died, and the services are unknown at this time, but they, I'm certain, will be announced later. The mother of our secretary, Ann Wilcox, also died this past week, Ann Walsh. And her services will be this afternoon, and they will be at the Burchess Roy Funeral Home. The calling hours are from 3 to 5, and internment will be tomorrow. And of course, as of now, I'm certain all of us are aware of the death of Jack Fitzgerald and his services will be here in this sanctuary a week from tomorrow on the 8th. There are a lot of people who were among us that we need to keep in our prayers, not only those who have died, but also and especially their loved ones. Are there any other announcements from those of you who are gathered here? Seeing none, then I ask we begin our worship service, and I will turn it over to Ann.
Please join me with the call to worship. Come from far, from near, come dressed fancy or as you are. We come hurting, imperfect as sinners and saints. Come to be healed and to gain hope. Come in love and be loved. God has been waiting for us patiently, arms wide. Come home. We sense you, God, in the present tense. Break down whatever false defense has kept you at bay without delay. Stay. A ray of light is shining in the darkness and defining what is right, for all are precious in your sight. Abide with all against the fall of night until at last the world is right. Amen. The hymn will be 292.
You're invited to stand if you are able.
Thank you.
Thank you, and please be seated. And I am looking for somebody to come up for our children's time. And I see one little guy, and if I see any older little guys or gals, you're welcome to come up and join us as well.
Do you really? Oh, good.
gone 1 week and I forgot the most important part. I'm going to invite us all now to join in the recitation of the Lord's Prayer. Our Creator, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
This morning's epistle reading is from Romans 9, verses 1 through 5. I am speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience confirms it by the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my own people, my kindred according to the flesh. They are the Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, and from them, according to the flesh, comes the Messiah, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen.
The gospel passage to be read today is from Matthew, being read from the 14th chapter, verses 13 through 21. Hear these words. Now, when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from town to town. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the village and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full, and those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. That ends the reading of the scripture for this Sunday morning. May the words of my mouth I know this is summertime, and it's a time to relax and regain energy, to do a little vacationing, and I hope each one of you are able to do that. But there's the other times of our lives when it's not relaxing, it's not vacation. There are times when we are completely exhausted, when we are drained, when demands are made upon us from one moment to the next, and we are exhausted. Or emptied. Maybe if you have been, and I think each one of us has been in that setting, in that time at some point in our life, if you can recall that and go back to it, and maybe even now that you're in it, that you may then understand the condition that Jesus must have been in when we heard that reading being shared just a few moments ago. Now, what we did not hear in that reading was what preceded it. We did not hear about what happened before the feeding of those thousands of people on the lakeside that day. On that day, I'm going to try to refresh you a little bit. On that day, the story begins that Jesus received some awful, awful news. He received the news of the gruesome death of his cousin John, the one who baptized him. It was the person that Jesus admired and was influenced by. And John was killed via decapitation. Throughout my ministries, I have had the uncomfortable responsibility to be in the presence of people when or shortly after they were given some awful news of a terrible tragedy. This is one of the circumstances in my professional life that I would always prefer to avoid. There is no more discomforting responsibility to be in than to be in the presence of others at such a harsh, harsh time. Jesus was told about John, and if any of you remember or experienced, and perhaps would like to forget, a terrible moment in your lives when something terrible happened, you might identify with Jesus quite well today. He wanted to get away. He wanted to be by himself. His heart was broken. He was aching. And I would not be surprised if he were in near shock of such news. He was in grief. He was devastated by the news that he heard. He, in essence, wanted to find a back door and to escape the countless number of people who were demanding and wanted something from him. Oh, I could hear the voices now. Jesus, heal me. I am sick and I want to be well. Jesus, restore my sight. Oh, Jesus, forgive me. Jesus, help my child who is ill. Oh, Jesus, cast out these demons from me that have dominated my life for so long. Jesus, heal me. Help me. They came to him from every direction. And repeating, there were thousands of them. And all Jesus wanted to do at that moment was to get away, to be by himself. He did not want to do the normal functions that he was expected to do. Translating it into today, not nearly as significant as his life, but for any of us who were involved in any situation or any professional life, you might understand. He wanted to be left alone. He didn't want to deal with meetings. He didn't want to deal with people. He didn't want to deal with budgets or any such thing. All he wanted to do was get away. He wanted to find the back door out, just like any rock star after a big concert would want to get away from the multitudes of people. This was a time for him to find solitude, peace, privacy, a time to cry, a time to pray, a time to be angry at the people who did such an awful thing, such a ghastly deed, and possibly even to raise his fists to the heavens and yell at God for allowing such a horrible thing to happen. So Jesus finds a boat and he paddles out into the lake toward another spot, hoping to find a way away into another dock where there would be no people. This is a day for Jesus to take care of himself. He was finally alone out on the water, and perhaps it would stay that way. And anyone who has ever known grief and hardship knows it needs to be more than a few hours. Perhaps he too was hoping for days or perhaps even months just to get away and allow himself to heal. He needed enough time for his grieving wounds to heal, for the wounds that he felt that day were terribly, terribly deep. At some point, Jesus knew that he could not stay out on the water all day. He had to get off the lake, and he does. He rows closer to the shore, and he sees something that's troubling him. He sees people. Not just a few people, but lots and lots of people who followed him along the shoreline, anticipating that at some point he had to come in, and they wanted to be there when that happened. There were sick people laying on cots and mats, thousands of people waving for him and waiting for him to come ashore. Everyone there had need for him. They needed his help to heal. They needed his help to make bad things go away. And the list goes on and on and on, as you would truly expect with thousands and thousands of people. He did not think about turning the boat around and going back into the solitude of the lake and perhaps hunting for another cove to enter his boat. He rows the boat to shore, and he faces the thousands of people who are there. He speaks to them for a while, and then he's moved by the needs that he sees, by the illness, the injuries, the brokenness. And he puts his own pain aside, and he heals the sick. But everyone knows that this cannot go on forever, and the day is getting late. And even the disciples, who are not always the brightest light bulbs in the ceiling, see that there is a problem here. The problem is that these people are hungry, and they have not eaten all day, and it's late in the day, and there is not much food. So his disciples say to him, send them home. Send them to the city. Send them somewhere so they can get fed, or they'll become unruly. The disciples were trying to be helpful assistants to Jesus, but Jesus did something different. We all know the story and the miracle of the fishes and the loaves, but that perhaps was not the real miracle. Perhaps that's not the real miracle that we need to capture in this story. Perhaps the real miracle is how he stepped out of his own pain, out of his own horror, and he gave to others beyond reason, and he gave to others with abundance beyond imagination. The real miracle is the effusive giving, the overflowing abundance, not only of the food, but also of himself. Also of himself and his own sacrificing. I think that is God's story. There is more than enough for everyone's need, and God will not give anything less than more than we need. Carol Cook of Louisville Presbyterian Theological Seminary tells a story about her mother's grief from the loss of her husband of many years. I'd like to read this little account to you. My father died unexpectedly of an asymptomatic but aggressive cancer during the spring of 2007. Since then, I've had the equally unexpected opportunity of watching my grieving mother find the strength and grace to continue to embrace life after losing her beloved life partner of almost 60 years. I have been nothing short of awed by her repeated ability to rise above the waves of grief that threatened to drown her by reaching out to others, both for and with a helping hand. She confessed to me recently that caring for others is the thing that has most helped her cope with her grief. The miracle of that day near the lake continues to be a miracle today. If the only miracle you see is the multiplication of the loaves and the fishes, you're not seeing something that can be alive today. What is alive today is the overflowing abundance of God through God's people. Raymond Carver wrote a short story entitled "A Small Good Thing." He tells of a couple who are preparing to celebrate the 8th birthday of their one and only child. Now, the party planning included ordering a special birthday cake from a local baker. Well, tragedy struck. On the morning of the boy's birthday, he was struck by a car. And for 3 days, the boy's life hung in the balance, and the parents were absolutely, as you and I would understand clearly, not focused on the baker, the birthday, or anything else. In frustration, the baker begins to make a series of cryptic calls to the family home. The boy died, but the calls continued. Around midnight on one night, the mother finally realizes who's calling, and in raged grief, she and her husband put on their clothes, go in, get into the car, and they rush to the bakery at that hour. And the baker is there. To his credit, when the baker hears why they have not picked up the cake, he apologizes for his inexcusable behavior. And then he offers them coffee and fresh rolls. And here's the conversation that follows. He said, "You probably need to eat something. I hope you'll eat some of my hot rolls. You have to eat to keep going. Eating is a small good thing at a time like this. There's more. Eat up. Eat all you want. There are all the rolls in the world right here." They ate rolls and they drank coffee. And the mother was suddenly hungry, and the rolls were warm and sweet. She ate three of them, which pleased the baker. Then he began to talk. They listened carefully. Although they were tired and in anguish, they listened to what the baker had to say. They nodded when the baker began to speak of loneliness, of the sense of doubt, and the limitation that had come to him in his middle years. He told them what it was like to be childless all those years, to repeat the days with the ovens endlessly full and endlessly empty. He had a necessary trade that fed others and gave him a path away from all that hurt. He was a baker, he said, and he said he was glad he wasn't a florist. It was better to be feeding people. Jesus was wounded in his grief, but he too was like the baker. He went beyond his moments of horror, and he fed people, but not with just enough, but with overflowing abundance. If you want that miracle to live today, if you want that same moment to be alive in this time, in this place, if you want to be part of that miracle, you can. What it is to step outside of yourself to feed others, not with just enough, but with overflowing abundance. To feed others not just with food, but with overflowing love. Every time that happens, the miracle lives. Every time that happens, the Gospels are alive. Amen. Our next hymn for this morning is being sung from page 371. The title is Lift High the Cross. And if you choose to or are able to, you're invited to stand.
Of Christ.
Thank you. Please be seated. As we enter into our time of prayer, it is most appropriate that each of us have this opportunity to voice aloud to each other any joys or concerns that are with us. If you have a joy or a concern for yourself or for others, I invite you to speak it so that we too might share it. It's good to have you here as well. Welcome. From Syracuse and Salem, I believe. Yes, welcome. For those of you who could not hear, that is a prayer for the members of Congress who are trying to pass a resolution for the budget, which affects everybody, and for the wisdom to make a good choice. Yeah. I'm sorry, say it again. Oh, Jean. Okay, our prayers will be there. Marge?
We all know that people are starving all over the world, but there's a particular need for prayers for the people in the Horn of Africa.
Yes, for people struggling all over the world, but at this particular moment, the many people who are suffering malnutrition in the Horn of Africa. And for the people of Norway in this difficult and unexplainable time. Very good. Thank you for raising those joys and concerns. Let us begin our time in prayer together with a time of silence. You've heard some issues and some concerns. I hope you'll remember them in your prayers, but also include in your prayers any needs that you need to talk to God about. Let us be in a time of silence. God, we are your people, and we come to you with open hearts, open minds. We come laying bare ourselves before you. We pray and hope that this day you will come to not only we who beckon you, but also those who need you in other parts of this world. For in many places people suffer, people die, and they are suffering and dying in ways that need not be. God, may we as your people who gather as the church not only be mindful of the needs of others, but also may we make every effort that we are able to do to invest ourselves in resolving or addressing the needs of others through our giving of ourselves in one way or others. God, we pray for the people in Africa, especially those who are suffering malnutrition. We pray for the people of Norway and the horrors that they have now experienced through needless terror. We ask you to be with the people throughout this world who are confronted in complete innocence through the violence that others inflict upon them, through war, through domestic abuse, and through so many other ways. God, we ask you to be the one who comes and gives strength and gives hope. We pray for those who are entering times of difficulty, for Gene as he goes into surgery, for others who face grief and loss. May each who is in a moment of difficulty of life find solace in the comfort that only you can bring. But God, may we as the people of faith, the people of the church, also be reminded of how important it is that we too extend our hearts, our hopes, our hands, and with great abundance give love and hope. God, we pray for this congregation as it moves forward in its ministry, for the history of this congregation is long and strong. And now as this congregation looks forward and moves into the future, may there also be great reasons for much hope of work and ministry and service to you and others in this community and beyond. God, we are grateful that you are with us and that you will not ever abandon us in any time or any condition. And for that, we express our heartfelt thanks. And we pray this all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As we prepare to share our gifts of offering, a brief story of something you might find interesting. Some of you might remember who Oliver Wendell Holmes was, the great jurist of America. Well, he went out for a walk one day near his summer home. And as he was walking, a little girl joined him for a time, and they walked together. And her distinguished walking companion at the end where the roads separated said to the little girl, he says, "Well, when your mother asks where you've been, tell her that you've been walking with Oliver Wendell Holmes." To which the little lady responded, "When your folks ask you who you've been with, tell them you were walking with Mary Susan Brown." Everyone and every gift is important, regardless of size or influence. There is none that is insignificant. I invite the ushers to be among us this day for the collection of our offerings.